cool episode today, especially if you're interested in nutrition, because I interview plant-based nutritionist Kate Levins. I used to work with her, and I have to say she played a major role in my health overall and in my personal growth, giving me amazing tips on nutrition. And we will discuss how you can include more whole food, plant-based foods in your diet. But Kate is not one of those vegan that say you have to become vegan today. She's really understanding where people come from. And so there'll be something to take wherever you're at. Hi guys, and welcome to the 34th episode of Dreamers and Doers, where I interview people who follow their passion and use it to make a better world. I think that's you, Kate.
Yay.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm actually super excited to have Kate, because we used to work maybe 2-3 years together.
Yeah.
We used to work in the same company, and she was a nutritionist there at HelloFresh. And I think you started my personal growth journey, so I want to thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Because when I started, I really didn't care that much about what I was eating. And the more I started, the better I would feel. And I think then that's, you know, personal growth, you can start by different channels. Nutrition can be one, exercise can be one, but then it's kind of a virtuous cycle that you create. So
absolutely. Get interested in all the things.
Yeah, definitely.
I think my favorite moment was when I convinced you to buy 5 kilos of muesli.
Oh, yeah, from Loving Earth.
Yeah.
That was a good... At first, I was like, I hated it. Because it didn't taste sweet enough.
No, yeah.
But you get used to it.
Is honey okay? Is banana okay?
It's like a pot of sugar.
Yeah,
I remember. But then I got used to it, because that's how taste works, right?
Totally. And like the second you start reducing sugar, you realize that life tastes sweeter. Mm. So lame, but it's true.
You notice
the natural sweetness in things.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like now if I have a normal muesli, I'm like, no.
Doesn't cut it?
Yeah,
you need the Loving Earth.
Too sweet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with a bit of your background for people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how did you get interested in nutrition? And so, especially, do you consider you specialize in plant-based, whole food, plant-based nutrition?
Yeah, definitely. I actually really kind of started the interest, I guess, in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those situations where when it came to choosing like my subjects in the final years of high school, my school didn't offer the pathway that would have led me into studying nutrition after school. So I was like, oh, cool, I'll go to the next best thing that I like.
But where did you want to study nutrition in the first place?
Yeah, when I was in high school.
Okay.
In like year 10 or something. And two crucial subjects were science, like biology, and also food technology. And food technology wasn't run by the school. And there was actually a girl in my school that ended up changing schools as a result, but I wasn't going to do that. So then I was like, oh, I also really love English. So I actually went and studied media and communications after high school instead.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me like quite a while to fall into what I'm doing now. But I think like it's been a good learning curve regardless. And it's just cool to see that like even when that was what I wanted to do at the age of 16, I'm doing it now. And like it never went away despite studying something else. Yeah.
But what got you in the first place to really want to do nutrition? Like, is there...
Oh, probably like really shallow reasons, like body image and, and like reading silly women's magazines and being like, I want to be fit. I'm going to learn how to like eat well and exercise well. Like, you know, even though that was the motivation.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't feel that way now. I'm glad that it somehow got me here.
Okay. And now it would be more the long-term health than...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Every day is just about waking up feeling happy. That's like the long-term goal for sure.
Yes.
And I think nutrition and movement and mental health, it all has like a huge role to play.
Yeah. We start discovering a lot of science linking nutrition with not only like obviously health, longevity, mental health, like your mood, your performance,
this. Yeah. It's so inextricable. Inextricably linked, for sure.
Okay. And so then
you started to look into what's the best nutrition for health, and you looked, and so I guess you looked into, like, when did you see more like that the whole food plant-based diet?
After I finished my first degree in media and communications, I went on like a really big trip to Europe, and I was there for 4 months traveling around, and I got really, really, really unwell.
Mm-hmm.
It just got to a point where I couldn't digest anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it made me really rethink all my decisions, especially what I was eating, obviously, because what goes in must come out. And so the only things that I could stomach were like fruit and vegetables without feeling really, really, really sick.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, there's something in this. Like, my body is telling me that I don't want to eat meat, that I don't want to eat cheese, that I don't want to eat an omelette or something like that. All I craved was vegetables. And so then when I got home back to Sydney, I just really started experimenting with my cooking, thinking like, how do I like maintain eating this way to feel good? Is it sustainable to not include the foods that I have included in my life for so many years because they were making me feel rubbish? Like, how can I go about this in a sustainable way? And then that led me to the down the path of studying nutrition. And I first enrolled in a certificate of nutritional medicine and did that. It was like a 3-month course, and I was like, I have to do the whole thing. So yeah, it was kind of organic in that respect. And then the 3 years that it took me to do that course was obviously like heaps of learning and personal growth and each week of learning I applied to my own body and kind of was like a bit of a guinea pig, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I guess another huge influence was the internet at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of when like Instagram was new and people had heaps of, like, a lot of people had blogs that were really inspiring that I was reading on the regular. And there were a few like key people whose blogs and websites and Instagram profiles that I really liked. And they were like, there was like a yoga teacher from New York and like this health blogger from Canada. These two really stand out. And,
do you have the names?
Yeah. People? One of them was Tara Stiles, who's she started Strala Yoga in New York with her husband. Another one is Sarah Britton, who has the blog My New Roots. And I was just like really enamored by the different kinds of ingredients that they were using, the fact that they could like make pancakes without an egg, but they used chia seeds instead, which is obviously like not a hugely revolutionary concept now, but at the time I was like, wow, what is a chia seed? And I guess just being like, in one way it was kind of like great that I was young and impressionable, because it like meant that I wanted to explore and discover and like learn and try things out of myself. And on another, yeah, I guess I was just really hungry to learn and super interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell how. I moved to a mainly plant-based diet, but through my nutrition would be very dull compared to you. That's why I call this podcast plant-based inspiration, is because you have a lot of really of diversity and enthusiasm about being like very creative with this plant-based diet. And you just came with a really nice vegan cake.
Yeah, sweet potatoes, almonds. Cinnamon donuts.
Nice.
The cacao. Mm-hmm.
And then to go back to the diet, do you usually recommend to people a full whole food plant-based diet?
It really depends on the person.
A certain percentage.
Yeah, it really, really, really depends on the person. So I think that every single person in the world should include more whole food plant-based meals or snacks within their life. But I guess having that clinical nutrition background, sometimes it doesn't work for people. And if you have certain conditions, like fiber can be a huge issue. And obviously with a whole food plant-based diet, you're eating a lot of fiber. So if that's something that's going to impact your healing or your journey, then, you know, maybe that won't be the recommendation. Mm-hmm. But certainly, like, if you're a well person, then I think there's place for everyone to include more whole food plant-based meals in their life.
And when you say more, Do you think there's kind of a range, and then it's personal, like 80 to 100%, then according to the preference? Or do you think, for example, someone like Dr. Greger, who's quite kind of famous in the plant-based internet industry, and he's quite recommending 100% he would be one of the people really recommending 100%.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think Dr. Furman or other ones are more between 80 and 100.
Yeah.
Where do you usually
I think it's really individual.
Yeah.
I really, the way that I like to work is to not really tell people to stop eating certain things,
okay,
but rather to focus on adding.
Okay.
Like,
yeah,
okay, cool,
yeah,
you eat eggs for breakfast, you eat chicken and broccoli for lunch, and you eat steak and mashed potato for dinner. Like, how
mm-hmm.
can you add in more whole food plant-based ingredients into what you're doing?
Okay.
And, you know, if you start to feel fantastic, then you want to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with time, the adding in starts to crowd out
mm-hmm.
what's normal, and it's
okay,
a natural evolution.
And that's what you say practically to people,
yeah,
but ideally to someone who's ready to do whatever you say.
I'm a practical person. Like,
okay,
I think it doesn't work if it's an all or nothing approach.
Okay.
Like, we need to go slow. We need to be nice to ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. Because I'm asking for example, from a personal point of view, I hesitate sometimes between being 100% whole food plant-based or having that basis and adding animal products, like maybe, you know, salmon once a week and
yeah,
chicken once a week or a fortnight, and maybe red meat once a month and an egg once a week, you know. So that's something I've been wondering sometimes.
Yeah, well, I guess, like, I'll put it back to you. Like, why do you feel the need to include those things? Probably because something inside of you is like, you know what, I feel like this would really satisfy me. And I think that...
Yeah, but that can be a bit of a conditioning, though. You know, like we talked about with sugar.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, I am very wary not to be a preachy plant-based person.
Yeah,
like,
they can be annoying.
It's so annoying. And it gives the industry and the way of eating a really bad rap. It's not about all or nothing, cutting things out. It's about being like, and you know, I also really think that your diet doesn't define you as a human.
Mm.
So like, I don't want to be known. And I've said this to you and to many people so many times before. I always ask people, like, what's the first thing that you say when you think of me? And if they say vegan, I'm like, because your diet doesn't define you as a person. Like, I'd rather you say that I have blonde hair more than, that than
okay,
anything. Yeah.
Okay. Now, obviously, we do this interview, especially on nutrition, and that's why
I'm
asking about this, but and more like optimal, but I think we both agree that it's quite personal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And on top of it, there's things like, you know, if you get too stressed about what you eat, you get, it's holistic, you get like too much cortisol, and then whatever you eat better is not going to be very good holistically. So,
exactly.
Yeah,
like, if you're not feeling good about what's on your plate, then it's not going to digest well anyway. So,
how important do you think is mindful eating on top of, you know, there's what you eat and then how you eat it?
Super important. And I think that this... mindful eating, like, definitely also ties into the idea of, like, bringing awareness towards what you're eating in the first place. And I guess when I was talking about slowly introducing people to more whole food, plant-based snacks, meals, whatever, mindfulness plays a really big role, because a lot of the time people are like, yeah, I just eat a bacon and egg roll for breakfast every day. Like, I don't think about it. It's just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
If you start to become mindful and practice eating mindfully and really taste what you're tasting, like, you might find that you don't enjoy that thing, or you really do.
And just to precise, eating mindfully would be like focusing really on the taste.
Yeah, like
eating,
not having any distractions, not
eating
with TV, maybe like nice music is fine, but or not while you're like walking or like driving the car or at your desk in front of the computer, like, being present in your action.
And so I had a friend who asked a question, actually, because I put on Instagram, do you have questions?
Yeah.
And he is mostly vegan, but still eats fish and sometimes meat, and was asking, is it possible to have the full profile of amino acids when you're on a purely vegan diet?
So it definitely is. The main thing is, so our main protein sources, which is, because protein is the macronutrient group which contains amino acids.
Okay.
So the main protein sources on a vegan diet are things like your whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. And there's not that many vegan foods or plant-based whole food or whatever term you want to use that contain all amino acids except for like hemp, quinoa, amaranth, and I think that might be it. There might be like one other. But
they contain all of them.
They contain all of them.
Okay.
Yeah. But otherwise,
yeah, and I'm asking this just to put it in a bigger perspective, because usually people think if you're fully vegan, you'll have deficiencies.
Yeah, they do. And I guess that understanding is based on the fact that a lot of vegan people do have deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what gives the word a bad rap. And I guess that's kind of like inspired my plight in life to help people to ensure that they don't get those.
Okay.
But aside from those three foods that I listed, to get that full amino acid profile, it's all about combining. So if you're eating rice, making sure you have like lentils or beans at the same time, or at least within the same day. Or if you're eating nuts and seeds, like have two different kinds and don't have the same ones again and again. Tofu is another thing that does contain all amino essential acids. Essential amino acids, rather. And same with tempeh, as long as it's from soy. There are a lot of great legume tempehs that I really like to recommend too, but you would have to combine them with like a whole grain or a legume just to get the full spectrum.
Okay. And you talked about protein in general. A lot of vegan, especially if you're a man and you like to work out, and you're often kind of afraid that you don't have enough protein.
Yeah.
Do you think
this can be an issue? It's just something that you have to try to achieve. Which I guess is why it can be a bit of a turnoff for some people. Why eating that way could be a bit of a turnoff. Like having protein, a lot of people don't like tofu, or you know, a lot of people find that like legumes make them gassy, or it's just, or they find they have to eat larger volumes, and all of that is true. It's just about having the awareness of what you need to do. Maybe like crunching a few numbers initially just to understand portion sizes and how to replace gram for gram, like chicken or beef, in a whole food plant-based style.
And so you really focus on more on why plant-based and these plants are good for you, rather than why meat or fish or eggs or dairies would be bad for you.
Like, I don't really focus on that at all.
Okay.
I'm just talking about the positives and the benefits of plants.
Do you still, I mean, I know you would agree with this, but do you still think it's good to shame some food because we think they're really quite bad, like more, let's say, some kind of processed food or very sugary food? And
for sure, processed foods, for sure. Yeah. And I think, and that's the whole point of the word or the term whole foods. We should be eating as close to what is natural as possible. And some processed foods are literal junk, like and provide no nutritional benefit for our bodies at all. Not to say that they don't have a place ever, because sometimes like a donut from Donut King is good for your soul, whatever. But I guess if you're eating mindfully and if you're tuned into how your digestive system is going and how you feel when you eat certain things, then you might start to find that the cravings for those sort of like processed, less nutritious foods go out the window. And you can get just as much satisfaction from a cinnamon almond sweet potato donut.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's something you can kind of rewire. But it's interesting because you talk about a lot about how you listen to your body. But for example, my body, when I get sweet things, is craving for more sweet things, right? So how do you, let's say, listen well to your body, and like to your body that's less compulsive?
Well, I suppose that's the benefit of like having a practitioner to work with you to help direct these kinds of questions too. Because if you are giving your body all of the nutrients that it needs by having like at least three good stable meals that combine protein, that combine fat, carbohydrates and minerals, then you're lessening the potential for cravings. If you're satisfying yourself enough, and I also mean that in a caloric sense or a kilojoule sense. We need to be eating enough for starters. But you're right, like once you have a taste of sugar, you generally want more of it.
It's like a drug. It acts like a drug.
Totally acts on your neurological pathways. I find like this is one of the instances where going cold turkey actually works. And as soon as you sort of cut out things like that, you really do find the sweetness in like something random, like cashew nuts are really sweet, or like coconut, or even berries, you're like, whoa, or even like a really ripe peach can taste like almost too sweet once you've had a bit of distance. But in saying that, I wouldn't suggest that you like deny your body sugar always. It's just about like experimenting and sort of playing guinea pig with yourself.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Doing
it with support. Like,
don't
feel like you're alone and like, oh, I'll never get over this feeling, or I'll never not be able to eat the whole block of chocolate again. Like, ask for help. Even just like tell your friend and talk about your experience.
Mm. Yeah. Do you think it's good? I think it's good, to tell people I want to eat more healthy, or, create like that new identity.
Yeah.
And that for yourself.
Definitely.
That's who I want to be in general. And today we have a bit of an audience for this show. our friend Lara, who used to work with us.
Yeah,
HelloFresh.
Yeah.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
We've been talking about the potential long term benefits of going, plant based. But let's say for people who, eat like a normal standard diet, so chicken, beef, and everything. Like, what can you expect in the short term from switching to a plant-based diet or adding more plant-based foods into your body? What would convince me if I was just not feeling at my best and eating a standard diet? What would convince me to switch to more plant-based diet?
Sure. So we kind of hear about macronutrients. We've heard that word before. They are fat, protein, and carbohydrates. And then micronutrients are like minerals and vitamins. But I feel like the missing macronutrient is fiber. Like that's the point. That's the secret to vegetarian or vegan or plant-based whole food diet. Like fiber is it. The second you start including more plants of any kind, you're increasing your fiber intake. And fiber is the thing behind all of the science associated with the benefits of whole food plant-based diet. Like the reason why cholesterol levels are lower is because of fiber. The reason why there's longer mortality, is that the right one? Yeah, mortality. Less mortality is is fiber. The reason why there's like less likelihood to contract like cardiovascular disease is fiber.
Mm.
So that's the benefit that you'll see. Sure, those things might not be that relatable in a short-term sense. But you will find that will also affect your digestive system positively, that you'll be having more regular bowel motions, that you will feel lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And actually that makes also a lot of sense from the an evolutionary science point of view, because I watched a very interesting, I think it was a TED Talk or a presentation about paleo diet versus the vegan diet.
Yeah.
And how much like, people in the hunter-gatherers, they were having like tons and tons of fiber.
Yeah.
And that the new paleo diet was like completely
like chicken,
short.
Bacon,
it was like 10
eggs.
Times less fiber than what a proper paleo diet should be.
Sure.
And how actually when you look at macro and micronutrient, they did, and there were a few areas where the paleo was closer to actually hunter-gatherer, but most of it was far off.
Yeah.
And fiber was the most outstanding.
Yeah, and
one.
It's like not that sexy. Like it's not that cool. Like it's just fiber, but it's revolutionary.
Yeah.
Like that's where all the benefits lie.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I find sometimes it can be hard because it's not that cool.
Yeah.
For example, the best tips are like drink a lot of water and
seriously.
Eat your vegetable and you sound like your grandma. But
but
in the end, that's the best tips. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like those are the best health tips for sure. And I think that's where so many of us go wrong. Like we overcomplicate it and we're like, oh, I have to run a marathon every week and
supplements
go buy supplements and like eat spirulina and chia seeds every day. But it's like, no, you just need to eat broccoli and lentils.
Yeah. It's like superfoods always like goji berry and these things,
exactly.
But like lemon and garlic is superfoods.
Exactly.
Okay, so supplements actually a really interesting topic.
Yeah.
Because I got, actually, because it's more fancy, like people, and I got quite into it, being like, oh, I'm going to do biohacking and using supplements. But the thing is, I find the let's say usually people who sell supplements, they say, well, our soils are more depleted now. So even if you have a nutrition that's like lots of plant-based and you get your meat from organic sources and try to do everything perfectly, our soils are not as good and your fruits, they're going to spend some, I mean, even our lifestyle is going to be different. So often they say you can't have like that optimal nutrition naturally. Mm-hmm. And that's often the basis for those supplements. And now it doesn't mean if they like, if they're right on the problem, it doesn't mean they're right on the solution.
Yeah.
But do you agree with this statement, or do you think
supplements are necessary?
Well, do you think that it's really hard nowadays, or almost impossible, to have kind of the nutrition we're meant to have designed by nature due to agriculture and our lifestyle?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, like our soil quality is huge. Mm-hmm. Most soil, especially in Australia, but also around the world, is deficient in selenium, okay. which is a really important micronutrient or mineral that we need. I combat that by having Brazil nuts every single day.
Okay. Because
I know that they provide the right amount of selenium. And I guess that's why a lot of people do supplement things. But we have to remember that the word supplement, like by nature, means like it should not be taken as like a sole thing. Like it's a supplement to a diet.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we can like eat McDonald's every day because we're taking our multivitamins. it is true. Like our soil quality isn't as good. And it's also really hard to find out from the person who grew your food what the soil quality is, because obviously that requires a lot of expensive testing to know what the levels of minerals are like in the soil in which your food is grown.
Mm-hmm.
Or like if you shop at Woolworths, you'd have no idea who grew your food
mm-hmm.
because there's like six middlemen in the middle from mm-hmm. like the farm to the Woolworths tray of avocados. So yeah, like the fear is real for sure, but I also don't think that that's something that we should sweat over and freak out about, because at the end of the day, like, you're getting the fiber.
Comes to the fiber. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you take do you take some?
Yeah, I do take vitamin B12,
mm-hmm. which is
essential,
especially if you're
vegan, right? Yeah, exactly right. So that is something that I take on the regular. Your vitamin B12 levels sort of stay okay for about the first 2 years of eating that way. But after which time they sort of start to decline.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure you're supplementing it.
And just on this, what I understand is that, you know, some people are like, they jump on it and be like, oh, if you need to take a supplement, that means,
you're not healthy, etc.
But B12 used to come from the dirt, right? And we were eating dirt, and now we don't have cholera, and we sanitize our food, which is good, but that's why we don't take the
B12. So B12 grows on bacteria.
Yeah.
So the only reason why animal products are rich in B12 is because the bacteria grows on flesh.
Yeah.
So that's how you're getting, by eating flesh, you're getting the benefit of the bacteria, which grew on it first.
Yeah.
There is sort of like some belief that we can get some amount of B12 from like fermented foods because of the fact that there's bacteria involved in the production of those, but it's not conclusive.
Okay.
It's not that strong.
Okay.
I personally think that it is something that is important enough to supplement.
Okay. Yeah. And it's super cheap. And it's easy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you take other ones?
Sometimes I take iron, like just personally. What was that? Magnesium. Yes. Everyone knows. If you know me, that's like, I'm a pusher of magnesium.
Okay. And you get it through supplements?
No, not wholly. Absolutely not. Like your leafy green vegetables, nuts and seeds, cacao, all really rich sources of magnesium. And like things like sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, leafy greens are things that I eat every day. But if you exercise, if you are like stressed, if you are prone to anxiety, like it's just a mineral that really, really, really helps. If you're having problems sleeping, if you are having digestive problems and you feel constipated, like it's one of these like sort of fix all minerals.
Okay.
And there is one product in particular that I really like. It's like a high potency magnesium that just works really well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's not something that I take every day. Like it's not something that I rely on every day.
Okay.
B12 things,
though. You think still like it's good to for you to edit a little bit here.
Yeah, you can, okay. Here and there. But at this, but in saying that, I don't want that to encourage anyone to go out and buy it tomorrow.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. Do you take DHA too? I take B12 and DHA.
DHA. I sometimes take like a microalgae oil. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also like really put a lot of effort into eating like walnuts, chia seeds, flax seeds, and hemp seeds every single day.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll
show you my cupboard for breakfast
perfect.
In the morning. That's like one Brazil nut and a bit of hemp.
So good.
That's so good. I love it. So,
yeah. We need to eat a lot of those things to get enough DHA.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
you don't get DHA through this, you get ALA, right?
You get ALA, but then it converts in your body. But that is also sort of dependent on your personal digestive system.
Okay.
So that's where it kind of gets a bit complicated, because if you have a poor digestive system, you may not get the right amount.
Okay.
This is why, again, it's important to work with a practitioner to help you find out all these answers, because it can be super complicated.
Mm.
Yes.
So you say it's important to work with a practitioner. So I remember going to you and working on my kind of vitamins and levels and mineral levels after going to the doctor and doing a blood test. Can you explain a little bit, why those blood tests that we do actually with the doctor, when they ask you to check your iron levels and other levels, and they come back all standard and not in the norm, actually not necessarily true. And why working with a new practitioner can be more helpful, actually.
Yeah. So all of the pathology labs develop their standards of like normal based on a sick population. So that in itself is like really confusing and weird. Contraindicating sort of. So the levels are set on a sick population. They're also set on a set selection of the population, and then they're just developed into an average. So that, it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah.
Not to say that they're like wrong or anything, or that we shouldn't use that as an indication, but the doctors are really just looking to see whether your levels are sitting within that range.
Okay.
And they're not really digging deeper. A lot of the times you can like find problems before they become a problem based on reading those results and seeing, because even if you're like one mark outside of the reference range, that is telling. Like, you can read into that and flush it out and, prevent problems from occurring.
So when you get your results, better to get them to a practitioner rather than, because the GP is just going to say, it's within the...
Well, I wouldn't say it's better, because obviously it all comes down to like your financial ability, right? Like, we can't all
if you're going to
afford it. But what I'm trying to say is like it's relevant to get them done at the doctor, have the doctor interpret them, and then get someone else to interpret them too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
there might be things that you can sort of pick out of that and go like, this is interesting. We've got your levels from 2016 and your thyroid stimulating hormone was at this level then. It's now 2019 and it's dropped significantly. Like, what happened? There's always a narrative behind that.
Okay.
It's like you'll find that the patient sits in front of you and says like, I had a really stressful period. I broke up with my partner and I wasn't eating very well and I was highly stressed. And you go like, now we know how to support you. And I guess within that doctor's surgery scenario, like it's like a 5-minute appointment. Like, they don't have time to go into all this information. So, yeah, I'm not to say that one is better than the other, but like if you have the means and you're interested, then like I think there's benefits from doing both. Yeah.
Was that good for your question?
A good answer.
Nice.
What do you rate it out of 10?
No. Terrible answer. I got Olivia live on the chat asking, what is the best quality supplement brands you reckon?
So that is definitely, again, like specific to the patient. Like I'd need to know more about what they need and what their personal needs are. Because I don't have one brand in particular that I love. Rather, it's like I know that this product performs well within this condition, in this person, and then I apply that to the patient.
Mm. Yeah. Is there some way you can trust more or less a supplement brand?
Absolutely. The ones that you want to trust the most are the ones that do the most independent research and testing.
Yeah.
And there are some brands that do a lot of that, and they back up all of the formulations.
But so you still have to dig. There's not like a certification of a...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, you still have to dig. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, it's probably not the answer that people want, but that's the honest truth. Depends on the person.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, even sometimes with the certification, it's still not that simple.
Yeah, exactly.
So, as we're talking about supplement and we talked about listening to the body, how much do you listen to the body versus the science? And I'll take the example of when I was trying Isagenix, for example.
Yeah.
Because when I tried Isagenix, I was actually feeling
pretty good.
Really pretty good. But the thing is, you know... if you take antidepressant, you probably feel better. Or if you take sleeping pills, you probably sleep better. But that's very short term, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I didn't like was like there were things that were like sleep aids, and I was like, I sleep well. I don't need sleep aids,
yeah.
You know. And so I was feeling pretty good, but I knew the science wasn't really backing it up. And I really a long term thinker, so that's why kind of I dropped it. But I felt like sometimes, your body can be a bit deceptive in the way it feels.
That trust, you mean?
Yeah, how do you listen to your body knowing that sometimes your body is going to feel good with something that in the long run is going to be maybe less good? Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, well, I guess you kind of answered it yourself because you were like, because there's science, there's like science to back up that supplement,
right? So
but
you,
then the same, then you let your body win, essentially.
Yeah. So I'd say for me, I use a bit, I know it's personal, I use a bit how I feel, but let's say these 75% or 80% science, which is not personalized to me, but I think I'm usually in a normal profile, and maybe 20% listening to how I feel my body.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's like make it really simple. We know that our bodies need carbohydrates, protein, fat,
like the
minerals.
Yeah, like the basis would be science, and then adjustments would be.
Yeah, but I guess let's make it simple. We need carbohydrates. It's like the science is we need carbohydrates, but our body is choosing what ones they are, like whether it's rice, whether it's potatoes, whether it's bananas.
Okay.
Like it's,
I feel like
it's super. Like we make things super complicated for ourselves.
Yeah,
we're like, oh, I need to get.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah, and it's like a lot of overthinking. And I guess this brings it all back to mindfulness and to awareness of your body and your life and your needs.
Mm-hmm.
And having that ability to sort of like sit back and like think about things and evaluate how you actually feel is powerful.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you talked about carbs.
Yeah.
You're not a keto fan, are you?
Not personally, no.
Do you think keto is a bit of a fad?
Okay. I think it's like having its day in the sun right now, for sure. Like a lot of people are interested in it, but I think that a lot of the agenda behind that interest is like, I want to lose 10 kilos quick. And anything that you come to, I think, like that you really seriously want to commit to sort of has to be like formulate like a lifestyle for you. And is that sustainable? Maybe yes, but maybe no.
And tomorrow, actually, I'm gonna fast for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do intermittent fasting? Or?
Yeah, I do quite often, actually. Yeah.
Okay.
But kind of mostly like
skipping
8:16.
Yeah.
Like so, having an 8-hour window in the day that you eat during, and having 16 hours of resting. Yeah.
Okay. And there's quite a lot of health benefits attributed.
Well, the
to
main one,
fasting.
I guess, is the fact that it increases your human growth hormone.
Okay.
So that is like promoting longevity, decreasing mortality.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like the main benefit tied to it.
That's good.
Yeah. Which is like what was originally the hype behind that Michael Mosley 5-2 diet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know. And I think on longer fasting, there's not, we lack a bit of science or.
Yeah, it's definitely not like my super area of expertise.
Okay, yeah.
I've only read like a little bit, not heaps. But I also just think that like we live in a really fast-paced life. A lot of us have really stressful jobs. Like how sustainable and manageable is it to like go and work at a high-power law firm and not eat for the day? Like your brain needs fuel. We need food. And there's nothing wrong with eating either.
Yeah.
Like,
I think it's, I find it way easier if you're like doing it almost retreat, like, you know, time for yourself.
Exactly.
So I had just a few, I don't want to be too mechanical, but still I had a few questions, maybe quickly, I don't want to dig too much and then we'll keep going. But I had one on. Do you drink coffee?
I don't know.
Okay, why?
I don't really like it that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I kind of feel like, why would I start now?
Yeah. True.
Yeah. I'm like definitely a person that's like prone to anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and like I don't want to make that any worse for myself.
Yeah. Okay.
I like if I have matcha tea, for example, I will like feel shaky.
Okay.
Like the caffeine affects me.
Okay.
But like that's something that I know because I have experienced it and thought about it and been like, oh, what is going on?
Yeah.
My hands are shaking because of the caffeine.
Okay. Well, I stopped coffee and now but I still have like once a month or something when I feel I need it and I can feel it.
You can feel it. Yeah.
Because you get used to it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice ritual for people though.
Yeah.
Like I think it is nice for people to have.
So hard
that.
To stop.
Yeah. But like one, not seven.
You're asking this question, like what can be bad about caffeine?
Well, the caffeine does stay in our bodies for an 8-hour window. So if you're having, this is just one factor, if you're having like a coffee at 3 p.m. and then going like, oh, I can't sleep, it's so hard, like that could be a huge factor. So it definitely affects our nervous system and our ability to rest. But it also will increase the or heighten the adrenal glands, which are responsible for producing like your sex hormones, like adrenaline and cortisol. And that can, if those are turned on for too long, then that can be detrimental to our health as well, because we want them to have a really nice spike at the beginning of the day and then come back down at the end of the day so we can sleep and rest. So I guess, it's all coming down to like quality of your nervous system, your ability to rest. And not be like so highly strung and wired. And because that's what it
was. I think for me, it was also a freedom thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I looked into it, so I think just nutritionally, I mean, there's this, but there's also quite a lot of antioxidants. So I kind of understood
it
wasn't like bad nutritionally, but it's just like my energy would be like, like I would need it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have as much energy, if not more, and more sustainable, not up and down, without needing it. So I save money, and if I'm somewhere and there's no coffee, I don't need a coffee, and it's just freedom. Like I get it from within rather than from
an
external source.
I think a lot of the time it can be like masking the fact that you didn't have a good sleep the night before.
Exactly.
And
if I'm tired, like when you're tired, it's not like, oh, I'm tired, I'm getting coffee. It's like I'm tired, my body needs rest. Right.
So it's, and then that brings it back again to mindfulness.
Yeah.
To having awareness of how you're feeling.
And trust the homeostasis of your body.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. We always have that reflex of getting more. Is it a good answer?
Thank you.
10 out of 10 again.
Yeah. What do you think of organic?
I think for sure, like where possible, go for it.
Yeah.
Fab. Amazing. But I don't think it's super realistic, especially living somewhere like Sydney.
Okay.
Like it's. Like take frozen berries, for example, are like 250% more than non-frozen berries. But then arguably berries is one of the things that should be organic based on the environmental working group's yearly report on the Dirty Dozen, which is like
the one that have the most pesticide.
Yeah, the most pesticide affected food versus the not. And berries is always in that top, in that Dirty Dozen. But, let's be realistic. Like, is it going to kill us? Maybe, maybe not.
Okay.
We don't know. But I don't think so. Like, I like to focus on the positives. Like, if it's going to stop us from eating berries, then don't do it.
Yeah.
Like,
better focus on, like, eating plant-based.
Yeah.
And if it's organic, it's a nice plus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, I think amazing if you can. But I personally couldn't afford to do that. 100%.
Okay, and this, I wanted to ask you, there's something I picked from you, is drinking organic apple cider vinegar.
Oh, yeah?
Do you do it first thing in the morning? Or
not every day, I'm not religious about it, but I do it sometimes.
Okay, in the morning when you wake up?
With lemon.
Is it better when you wake up in
general?
It wakes you up too,
it's
pretty strong.
It's pretty strong, Well, I always dilute it a lot, and I don't
tell
anyone to dilute it a lot.
Okay.
Like it's like a 1 in 20 dilution. But there's actually not a huge amount of science to back it up.
Okay.
But the reason why I do it personally is to stimulate the digestive system prior to eating.
Okay.
Because bitter, we want like bitter foods stimulate the gastric juices that are produced within the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the more gastric juices we have, the better our digestive quality will be, especially
okay.
for digesting things like protein.
Mm. Okay.
So that, yeah, that's sort of the reason behind it.
Mm. Yeah, I think life's dead. And I, yeah, I wanted to ask you a little bit. So I think I'm done with this, with this list of questions.
Yeah.
I think we had talked quite a we're talking to
quite
a lot of things.
Topics,
yeah. What are like three simple practical tips you could give people so they, you know, have their better nutrition? Like little things they can do today.
Yeah.
Let's say the 20-80, like the 20% of effort that will bring 80% of the results, they can do.
Seriously? Okay. Drinking water. This is so boring, but let's talk about water hygiene.
Oh, yeah.
So your body is essentially like a sponge.
Yeah.
If you were to like pour water onto a sponge really quickly,
yeah.
it would just fall off. It wouldn't absorb.
Okay.
So you need to drink, like for optimal hydration, you need to drink 3 sips of water every 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which always makes people like, but it's true. That is what we need to do. So bringing that awareness towards drinking water,
okay.
drinking water slowly throughout the day, carrying
so slowly because usually I wake up and I change
smash
like,
it.
Yeah.
Well, if you think about that sponge, like action, like
yeah.
if you drinking a whole liter in one go,
yeah.
it's not going to absorb.
Okay. But it hasn't been drinking for the past like 8 or 10 hours.
Yeah,
so
it's totally, but then, I mean, I guess
it's a very dry sponge.
Yeah, but when you think about like the volume that you'll drink throughout the day,
yeah.
just increase that if you're going to drink it really quickly.
Okay.
And yeah, I always recommend that people drink like at least a glass of water before they eat anything.
Okay.
Just because our bodies are dehydrated after the night of sleeping. The second tip would just be
okay.
to eat more plants, of any kind.
Okay.
Whether it's fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds, legumes, whole grains, like we need to eat more of them. Which is why I think that like encouraging a whole food plant based diet is relevant to anyone. I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, do it 100%, but like do include more of those foods for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So water, eating more plants. And the third one, this is so boring, but
Grandma Gates.
Yeah, seriously. But like, it's true. Like all of our health recommendations, like you've
yeah.
heard before from your mom or from your
yeah.
grandma. And we think about, when we think about longevity, like the only thing we have to go off is the previous generations,
mm-hmm.
in addition to new science and evidence. But, you know, I think that there's
yeah.
a lot we can learn from past generations. So then the last one would just be to rest. And I think that's a really hard thing to do in today's world because it's so fast paced. We all think that we have to have a full-time job and a side hustle and be killing it at both of them. We want to have like the biggest, most active social life ever. We want to have a relationship. We want to have like 17 hobbies, but like where on earth do we rest?
Yeah.
just making the time for that. Like, obviously, sleeping for 8 hours is
yeah.
ideal. Like, we need to do that
yeah.
every single
for
day.
For the high achievers, do 8 hours like Jeff Bezos. Because he talks a lot about how it's important for him to sleep 8 hours.
Yeah.
But it's good to, you know, to find high achievers that people can compare themselves to.
Oh, okay,
so
okay, yeah.
Jeff Bezos would be sleep advocate. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but in addition to sleeping, like, when you feel exhausted because you've had like a crazy day, then just take 5 minutes, like sit with a cup of tea or like put your legs up against the wall or like go jump in the ocean and don't like push yourself. Not as much as I would like to.
Okay.
Yeah. Not, definitely not every day. Maybe like twice a week.
Okay.
Yeah. But for me, meditation is cooking. Like that's
You're
when I feel.
Present when you cook.
Yes. And that's when I feel like most zen and like in the zone. And productive and like inspired.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so to finish a bit with this episode, obviously if you have more questions, go for it.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, so we really focused about health.
Yeah.
But obviously in the vegan lifestyle, there's a bit more than just health. There's usually there's like three things that push someone to go, let's say vegan and plant-based, healthy. So there's health, there is the environment, and animal ethics.
Yeah.
do you, how much, like, yeah, are those two parts really important for you too, the environment and
animals? Definitely. But I don't think that eating a whole food plant-based diet or being vegan, whatever you want to say, is going to solve either, like, all of those issues wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Like, no way. There are so, especially when we're talking about the environment, like, cutting out dairy and then switching to almond milk is, like, worse for the environment, honestly.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, like, the amount of water that it takes to grow one almond is crazy.
Okay.
So we need to be aware of these things too and, like, research and, you know, be equipped with knowledge to back up any decision that we make.
Because I think sometimes people, they go vegan because, and then it can get overwhelming otherwise to know, you know, at least it's one rule.
Yeah.
You know?
No, and it is, like, I know for sure there's a lot of articles and research to back up what is one of the best things we can do to help save the planet, and cutting out beef especially, or cutting out, like, any cow consumption, so dairy included, is a really big one because of the fact that they produce methane, and that is, like, a huge detriment to our planet.
That's when they fart, right?
Yes. Exactly. So, yeah, I'm just, what I'm trying to say is, like, it's a really great step in the right direction, but we should also be considerate about what alternate choices, what their impact on the environment is too. Yeah, like, it's not a fix-all. It's not like you're a saint when you become vegan. Then in terms of animal welfare, for sure, like, it baffles me that we grow up without the awareness. Like, personally, I had no idea that, like, a pig was suffering. Like, I don't think that's something that we consider. And to think that they don't suffer, I think, is really...
Yeah, they even have, they have, like, really emotional pain when, for example, you take the calves away from the
farm. Well, absolutely. Like, that would, if that happened to a mother in Bondi, like, it'd be all over the news. Like, it wouldn't happen.
Have you read Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari?
No.
That's a book, a really good book. I really recommend it. It's a very broad book, but into it, he always has a higher perspective on how we live our lives and our societies. And when you have a higher perspective on the meat industry, especially how we treat animals, it's like when you grow up, you're just ignorant of it. But when you take that higher perspective, you're like, well, there's something wrong.
For sure. I think that's like a really good way to think about life and go through life too, though, is to just question everything. Challenge it. Like,
nice. How can people follow you?
You can find me on all socials, so like Facebook, Instagram, at Nourishing Club.
Yeah.
And my website as well, nourishingclub.com.
I'll publish that.
You can email me, which is just kate@nourishingclub.com.
Okay. And what's up for you? What's the next things for any projects coming up that you want to share?
Sure. Well, I mean... Like, I, in addition to just publishing content online, I also teach, like, corporate groups cooking lessons and teach them seminars and workshops about health that are very, like, hands-on and educational. So someone, you can hire me for that. I'm also working on a product range that will hopefully be available for sale soon, like maybe first at farmers markets, things like that. But also... it will be supported by an e-commerce site that you can order online. So yeah.
Okay, I'll be your first client.
Well, I think
most of my nutrition has been from your recommendation.
Well, I think that when it comes to nutrition, like, it's one thing to say something, but it's another thing to taste something and like, enjoy it. So that's how I like to win people over.
Okay.
To be like, eat this, it's really delicious and healthy.
Mm.
And
even if it takes a week or two to find it delicious.
Yeah, no.
As it took me for the cereals.
Yeah, but I didn't make that. That was just a recommendation.
True. Thank you, Kate. We have a tradition in this podcast. We finish with a big warm hug.
Okay.
Thank you so much for giving so much value to the people who listen. If you have more questions, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Keep them coming up. And thank you for listening this far.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast, and I really hope you got very good tips on how to eat more plants and to have more creativity with anything around whole food plant-based diets and to be more healthy in general. Now, I really love to get feedback, so don't hesitate to send that to me. And if you want to help, you can leave a nice review on iTunes. That really helps to boost the podcast. So thank you and see you next time.